Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center, Fort Irwin, California. My name is Captain Seth Rivetta, and I will be hosting this podcast today. The Gauntlet brings you best practices from the Army's experts in combined arms operations.
Today, we will be sharing a podcast made by the Scorpion Team, one of our combined arms battalion trainers, called Left of the Bang, a Scorpion Team Desert Dialogue. This mini-series highlights how to best prepare each warfighting function for some of the challenges of the National Training Center.
Hello, everyone. I'm Major Stephen Powles, Task Force Operation Trainer for the Scorpion Team, the Green Team, here at National Training Center, and welcome to another episode of Left of the Bang. Today, we will address the movement and maneuver warfighting function, and with me, I have Captain Frum and Master Sergeant Shane Dixon, mechanized infantry trainers from the Scorpion Team, and also Captain Craig Fentrix, observer course trainer from the Eagle Team. We will start with Captain Frum.
Captain Trent Frum, Scorpion 3A, infantry officer here at NTC. I've got 8 rotations as a company and task force operations trainer.
Master Sergeant Shane Dixon, Scorpion 3B, 22 rotations here, and I am a senior infantry sergeant.
Captain Craig Fentrix, with Eagle Team, Eagle 1-2, cavalry attack trainer, and I'm currently on rotation number 15.
Thank you, gentlemen. So we'll get right into the warfighting function of movement and maneuver. Captain Frum, there's been multiple conversations about how units can prepare. We take a look at the operations process of plan, prepare, execute, and assess. So from the battle staff perspective, as well as from the company leader level perspective here, what should a battalion give the companies to ensure the company commanders are able to execute their mission?
Yes, sir. So specifically when we're doing the troop leading procedures and the military decision-making process, the deliverables are the fighting products, sir. We see units succeed immensely based on the efficiency they can create and then the completeness that they can create those as well. So the 5 we see pretty common are starting with the task organization, graphic control measures, sync mat, decision support matrix, and then the fires products. So whatever, that's a targetless worksheet or an annex delta of some kind. Those are the products that if a staff can mobilize and efficiently create and effectively distribute those, whether digital or analog, we see commanders and leaders at the company level and below successful on the objective.
Thank you very much for that. So, Master Sergeant Dixon, from the company perspective, as they prepare, so those fighting products, how do companies can use those as well as prepare for their missions?
At the company level, they need to get disseminated down to at least the team level to be effective. A lot of times we'll see it'll get down to the PLs, platoon sergeants, but won't make it down any further than that. When you go to that individual soldier on the objective and say, hey, what's your task and purpose right now? Often they don't know. It's not effective coming from battalion down to the company if it doesn't get all the way down to that lowest level.
So Captain Fentrix, so when we take a look at things from the battalion level and providing that bottom-up refinement, how have you seen battalions from your perspective when they're trying to coordinate those airframes and whatnot? How effective is that?
So it really kind of comes down to that comms pace plan, ability to establish that upper TI so you can share products. Aviation is going to be anywhere from like 150 to 200 kilometers from the flot in order to stay outside of multiple launch rocket system range, which we've seen in the current conflicts in Eastern Europe have been pretty devastating against aviation assets. So having that good pace plan to be able to get products from the maneuver battalion to the aviation task force, and then also being able to talk to the helicopters once they come on station. Really big thing is just once they've checked in, it's not pushing them down to the company level. Aviation has the ability, because like you can go from like the east side of the training box to the west side in like 10 minutes with a helicopter. So they can cover a lot of ground. Battalion commander can contact the air mission commander, who could be a commissioned officer or warrant officer who's in charge of that flight. Have that commander-to-commander discussion for those updates, because a lot can change between when helicopters go wheels up from the TAA and arrive at the flot.
And that's the biggest thing I've noticed. A former battalionist through myself is that you take a look at that concept of that bottom-up refinement, right? So I always look at the 80-20 rule of like, hey, I need to get 80% of these products complete and disseminated down to the companies as fast as I can while allowing that 20%. I understand we do the one-third, two-thirds rule here. We take a look at that Pareto principle, and I try to get that 20% to where it gives that commanders the chance to really take a look at the plan, see where the gaps are, and they can provide that bottom-up feedback so that way I can maximize those airframes that allow us to be perfected from an integration perspective. So Captain Frum, I'll come back to you. Here at NTC, we see many trends, issues, and challenges that battalions go through. So going back to that battle staff perspective, what common problems we see between the battalion to the company handover with those fighting products?
You hit on it just now, sir. The feedback from company, we don't build that into the planning process. We may have a great battle rhythm at the task force battalion squadron level that integrates all the staff and gets the warfighting function input from running estimates that we need. No one thinks to ask First Sergeant so-and-so or Company Commander so-and-so for their inputs on the plan or the warfighting functions. I think the First Sergeants are massively effective in providing input on sustainment, medical operations, you name it. Like, they have the experience. They need to be part of the planning process. So I think, number one, if we don't include the maneuver elements and their leaders in the planning process, we're just starting behind the curve. We're trying to do the one-thirds, two-thirds like you talk about, sir. We can get them a proverbial 70% solution, but if we got their feedback at the beginning, we'd be closer to 100% because they know what's coming.
What are the major issues that you have seen that impact the companies as far as preparing for missions?
The biggest thing that we've seen in the last year or so is the companies not having enough time to effectively plan from battalion. We've seen it where it was as little as 40 minutes from the company commander receiving the frago, this is what we have, to LD. So with 40 minutes, you can't expect a company commander to be able to disseminate all that information that's coming out from battalion and be able to plan with his adjacent units to be effective on the objective. So if you're a battalion and you're only giving your company commander 40 total minutes to plan for this operation, you have to temper your expectations and understand that, hey, you're probably going to have a lot of casualties. Chance of having fratricide or another serious incident goes up exponentially.
So the biggest thing that I have seen throughout the observations in reference to what you gentlemen have talked about is always an issue of time. Time is never on the maneuver leader's side. So Captain Fentrix, if you have a moment, I really want to really expound or at least unpack about how that time impacts integrating other warfighting functions. So since you're here today with us, we could talk about your wheelhouse in reference to the A-frame. So how does time impact not only just, we understand how it impacts the company level, but integrating you guys in? What are some things that the audience needs to understand about how time impacts integrating you guys?
A lot of what aviation needs to survive and maneuver on the battlefield is going to require requests that are sent up to brigade, and the brigade approves it, and that takes time. So we're talking about like an airspace coordination order. So we have to be able to figure out where we want to set like our attack by fire positions, our battle positions at. We create like ACAs around them so that we can basically protect that airspace from fires. And we got to plan it in depth and breadth so that our maneuver is not shutting down fires because they can't process a fire mission because we have 64s or Blackhawks flying through that airspace. So the airspace planning is going to take time. We have to send it up to brigade, who's going to send it up to division, and it has to get approved and passed back down. Another thing we need from that brigade to division conversation is enablers to keep us alive out there. So like electronic warfare, lethal, non-lethal suppression or destruction of enemy air defense. That's all stuff that would have to be planned well in advance so they can coordinate with divisions so they can get those time blocks established. And then like we have, it's like a contract. Like if we miss our takeoff time or some of the plan changes or gets shifted around, we're just going to lose those enablers. So it requires a lot of advance notice so we can get that stuff set so we can get helicopters wheels up at the right time so they're hitting that window of convergence that the brigade is hopefully creating or the division is creating for that brigade in order to execute in support of a maneuvered battalion.
This is a great conversation here about time, because time is always the enemy here at NTC, because the battalions have a lot to consider in reference to executing the operation process. So Trent, I go back to you. Something that's near and dear to my heart, troop leading procedures, those TLPs. What have you seen from the trend perspective or some comments you would like to talk about how time and its impact on TLPs?
Battalion level, sir. There is no way around reacting to higher headquarters planning adjustments, changes in the operational environment. Like, it's a changing battlefield. However, I think a couple of ways we see success. Number one, if that battalion or squadron commander can issue concise, clear planning guidance to maneuver elements and warfighting functions, everyone starts knowing exactly what they need to do. And then second, I would say a battalion that can have and maintain a clear delineation between their current operations and their planners throughout is going to succeed, because it will allow that planner to always look a phase ahead. And as long as he can maintain that, then we're not digging out of that last minute planning for an operation that's coming up, because we're already a phase ahead. So if we have good, clear planning guidance, we have a delineation between the planner and current operations, then we can generate plans, courses of action quicker. And then I would say the last piece is have the staff delineated to who is responsible for what product. So we go back to talking about the fighting products. Who's going to physically build this once we stamp the course of action with the boss, so that we can streamline the production of that. And then, like Sarn Dixon said, get it to the lowest level in a timely fashion so that they can rehearse and execute.
Thank you very much. Master Dixon, any comments to that?
All battalion has to do is issue a warno And the companies can action on that WARNO. They can start their rehearsals based off of what the WARNO is. They can also initiate movement, something that is very rare to see with, hey, company, here's your WARNO. And maybe they want to kick JAV teams out ahead of the maneuver element, the mounted maneuver element. We almost never see that where it's, hey, in 36 hours, we're planning on assaulting this objective, but we never see an advanced party move to go and start being able to prep that objective so that the mounted element can actually maneuver there unobstructed until they're about 2K out. We never see that. And you can have a small team of 16 people with javelins, and your FSO, FOs can go and be up in the mountains and provide support to that maneuver element. And we just don't see it.
I'm just going to jump in. Leaders reconnaissance. We talk about it straight out of the old TC321.76. Get a leader up there. Squad leader, team leader, platoon leader. Someone that can go and look at the objective. If you're going to wait for an intelligence collection platform for a battalion to paint the information that you need to hit the objective, you're going to be a little bit behind the power curve. But you have organic sensors. You have an FS3 on your B-Fist or your FSV. You have leaders with LLDRs, thermal sights, like all organic equipment to the company. Push it up and look at it. And nobody's telling you you can't do that. And then obviously understand the risk to the mission and risk to the force. Make commonsensical decisions, but yeah, don't wait.
Captain Fitzgerald, anything to add for this?
Yeah, so looking at like a really hasty kind of planning timeline at the maneuver battalion level, when we start trying to integrate aviation into that, what we see is when it's a very, very hasty planning timeline, a lot of times they're just going to get like a frequency, a call sign and a grid, and they're going to go check in, and the crews haven't done the requisite analysis on where the enemy threat systems are at, where the radar threats are at, so that they can remain survivable. Because really what we're seeing is like for like our lift assets, they're out there to help you guys either move personnel, move parts, move resupply, whatever you need for the attack. What we're trying to do is we're trying to shape the battlefield. We're trying to maneuver to shape the fight for you guys before you guys get within the enemy's EA or they come into your EA. So the hastier it is, the more likely it is that the crews are going to miss something. They're going to make a mistake and they're going to find themselves in a bad spot. And oftentimes what we see is aviation will focus on the radar threats first, but they kind of disregard like the direct fire weapon systems. What we see out here is most of our shoot downs are from either like a SH 24s from like OPs or from T90s. T90s can shoot down a helicopter and the BMPs as well. Those are what we're seeing for most of our shoot downs are from those systems.
One thing that we have seen here is that time impacts all, not just from the maneuver leader perspective, but also from all breadth of warfighting functions and all the enablers that come into the fight as well. And the biggest thing is that when it comes to integration, which I have seen former battalion S3, is that, you know, that constant communication, even from the WARNO or any type of development of a product or an idea or a commander's intent, it needs to ensure that it's shared across whoever is attached or assigned to that maneuver battalion in order to ensure that everybody can start one, all their planning and preparation, just like the operation process goes there. And it's so that way they can make sure that they're maximizing all the time that is available, because time is of the enemy here. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move right into the other final thought about the best practices and tips for the battalions to prepare their foxhole from both the battle staff as well as company leaders, as well as integration perspective. Trent, I will come to front. I'll start with you.
Build your fighting products before you get here. Get the map board ready. Understand what your decision support matrix looks like, your sync mat, and then build it all analog and digital. Digital is good. Analog is not going to fail. Regardless of what GPS jamming degraded environment you're operating in, the map marker is still going to write on the acetate. And so I would say build those shells, whether you're a company commander, a platoon leader, squad leader, all the way up to the battalion commander. You got to have the medium with which you're going to communicate your vision and your plan. That'll take all the work out of getting here. And then rehearse also how you're receiving information, how you're providing information, so that that is not part of the energy that you have to conserve. Systems in place before you get here. And then the other thing I would say is do your terrain analysis. Before you get here, you don't have to be the S2 to be doing terrain analysis. The units come down here with a map board of 327 TRPs on every piece of key terrain in the box, can issue guidance immediately upon receiving a WARNO using very descript graphic control measures. I know it sounds insane. We've had companies come down here with that product already built, platoon sergeants kicking and screaming when told to copy said product on their map. Immediately immediately effective. That company commander can issue guidance on occupying an assault position or any sort of logger site attack position. And he can also issue guidance for direct fire implementation on an objective using that same tool. Do what you can before you get to where you're going to fight. And it doesn't apply just to NTC. And that ensures success when you get here.
And that's a great point that you said there, because NTC provides a replication of the real world where we're going to have so many tools at our disposal in order to look ahead and see the terrain that what we're going to be hopefully not fighting in. And if that's the case, it's good to lean ahead early. That way it's not a surprise, that very proactive versus reactive approach. Master Aaron Dixon, any things for the final thought on best practices and tips?
Yeah, so one thing is to have a CAR script and do a few battalion CARs before coming to NTC with at least the PL and platoon sergeants. Every maneuver element should be briefing their movement and triggers, not just the company commanders and staff primaries. And it should be like, hey, I'm able 2-6. I'm bringing 38 Eagles to the fight. I have 2 240s, a Carl Gustav with 4 HEDP, 2 HE rounds, 2 Clues with 6 Javelin rounds. Our task for this phase of the operation is to seize Hill 781 East. Purpose is to allow BCO freedom of maneuver. My trigger to seize this terrain is the initiation of target. Typically, we never see anyone but the company commanders and staff primaries speaking at CARs. And that trickles down to the company, where at the company, it'll just be the commander and the PLs speaking. You don't see the squad leaders, the team leaders there talking. So how do you know that down to that lowest level? So at a battalion CAR, the PLs are just standing there in receive mode when they should be on that terrain model briefing their piece of it.
You going to talk about the terrain model? Got to build it. That's my last input. Bring a terrain model kit and then build a terrain model every time. It's a lot of work to do a good one, but you want to talk about getting situational awareness down to the lowest level. Build a descript terrain model with key terrain, graphic control measures, and your plan depicted on that. And then orient it north, please. In all seriousness, that terrain model is the best use of time, because if you build it at battalion, companies can rotate through, platoons can rotate through. And if it's big enough, you can have a solid rehearsal at every echelon and people can visualize the environment that you're moving into and have better situational awareness.
And they can also visualize the commander's intent of how he defines success for that operation as well. Like I said, we go back to time being of the enemy. Many organizations with we have seen here at NTC, they sacrifice that CAR and just hope that everybody understands because the op order has said it. But just like any other sports team, any other organization in the world, that rehearsal or some type of preparatory block within that timeline to ensure that there is common understanding throughout the entire organization is very, very key, because you will be amazed at how many people understand things differently based off of what is said from either the hired or leader or just the person next to them. It's like playing a telephone game. So great point to be right here. Captain Fentrix, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to highlight is like we're no longer doing counterinsurgency for helicopter support. If they got to have time to be able to plan and get enablers and everything in order to remain survivable, because everything is a much higher risk in large scale combat operations. If you got helicopters that are coming in to support your battalion, really like what the crews need, they just need to understand, because we've already kind of talked to, they just understand the commander's intent and the commander's guidance. If you got 64s coming in, just tell them like, we need X number of T-90s destroyed in this location, and give it to them a requisite amount of time to plan. And the crews will find a task and purpose that fits that mission, and they'll go out and they'll do the planning that they need to be able to execute to shape the fight for the battalion. And the same goes for lift. Like, don't forget that like lift can do a lot for the maneuver battalions as well. We can move parts, we can move food, we can move water, we can move soldiers around, all that stuff. We can do infills for OPs, exfills for OPs. So it's not just thinking like attack, it's also thinking about all of like Army aviation, but just understanding that we're a lot less survivable in this fight. So there's a lot more planning that we have to do in order to stay in the fight for the guys on the ground so that you guys are successful in your missions and everyone, we maximize the number of people that can go home.
I would like to award the audience the opportunity to grab some references to what you probably prepared for today so that they can continue to dive deeper into not only what you discussed, but also things that they may be able to start training on before they come to NTC. Master Aaron Dixon, I'll go ahead and start with you. Do you have any references to share with the audience?
Yes. References are ATP 3-90.5, Combined Arms Battalion, ATP 3-20.20, the Infantry Battalion, and FM 3-90 Tactics.
I think for like ground forces to be familiar with is FM 3-04 Army Aviation lists all our core competencies, the missions that we can do, and our capabilities and limitations.
So as we close out our session today, I want to take a moment to thank our three esteemed colleagues of Captain Trent Frum, Master Sergeant Sam Dixon, and Captain Craig Fentrix for describing the best trends, practices, and also providing their perspectives on how future training battalions can prepare for themselves as they come to NTC. So as a reminder, the purpose of these sessions is to spark dialogue within your own formations so that you can best prepare for NTC and be ready to execute real-world training experience.
As always, our Observer Coach trainers are here to assist units. I invite you to look at our Mill Suite page for the latest products from Operations Group and subscribe to Operations Group Tech Talks on YouTube for short lessons learned on successful techniques. Thank you for listening to Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center.